Welcome to Classy Ring Attire, non-specific date edition. Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. Yeah, you guys won't be hearing this for a little while, so.
You didn't introduce yourself. Who are you?
I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Neil.
That's right, we've got a third party here.
Woo. Which is why Joel was
thrown
off.
This is crazy.
By our usual intro.
I'm sorry. I
call this a bonus episode.
this is a replacement episode, I guess.
Alright, so obviously we're recording this one ahead of time because we got turkey to eat next week, so I figured we'd all be too busy doing that stuff and being forced to see our families.
Yeah, so enjoy this one on the way to your grandmother's house.
obviously right now, at the time that we're going to post this is after Survivor Series.
Yeah, so these are our Survivor Series reactions. Stone Cold. Really glad he's back now, full time. Really, really excited about that.
Who would have thought that one time they got their leg cut off completely?
Crazed fans? Like, am I right?
I know, right? Huge riots?
Wow.
One fan got turned into a Pez dispenser?
I can't believe they gave out a free car to everybody in that audience.
This is crazy. That's what happens when you suddenly mass nominate The Rock for president.
There you go.
That's what happens.
But seriously, I think what we're going to do is one of us or both are going to put up our Survivor Series thoughts in text form, so you might actually have to read something. We might throw that up on our website.
Yeah. But for now, since obviously we have no idea what happened in Survivor Series, we are going...
Speak for yourself, sir.
We are going to delve, as we promised a few weeks ago, we're going to delve deeper into WWE 13.
And that is why Neil is here.
Yeah.
He's more of a, I don't know, gaming expert, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
He's more knowledgeable about...
He's more of a gaming enthusiast.
Although, you know, it's not a PC game, so I don't know how much of his game snobness is.
Yeah, controllers, it's... stuff.
Oh,
buttons.
Buttons not lined up with these knob things. So, me and Joel, we gave you our initial thoughts a few weeks ago. Neil, tell us your initial thoughts, feelings.
It seemed pretty good. I think, you know, the last time I played a wrestling game was probably one on the 64, so it's a pretty new experience for me.
Better or worse?
I'm going to go with better.
Interchangeable graphics?
Largely, yeah.
God, I hate those graphics.
Yeah.
Something I really noticed was that there's not really a lot of teaching in the game. Like, it kind of expects you to know what to do, by and large.
I mean, you can look up, like, what button's what, but
yeah,
it doesn't really give any other explanation past that.
Like, there's no tutorial mode, or there's no, like, sort of start off on a really, really, really dumb computer or anything like that.
Is there... I didn't look. Is there anything in this game where, like, your buddy will, you know, your opponent will stand still and that you, like, really...
Not really.
Basically...
Not like 2000... You're talking about, like, SmackDown versus Raw 2011, where the start screen is your John Cena beating up on Randy Orton.
Yeah,
and staying still. And in the corner, it would give you hints or some tips or something like that. No,
yeah.
There's nothing like that in this game.
Yeah.
So,
part of it is mitigated by the fact that they have a lot of quick time events and stuff where it shows you on the screen what to do. Although... hit this button, you know, that they show doesn't really help when you're not used to the PS3 controller.
Yeah, I was like, that seriously hindered me.
Which side is the square on, which side circle on, you know, that...
Which gave me an advantage in our head-to-head.
Yeah,
playing
on a PS3 when I'm used to those Xbox 360 controllers.
I'm sorry,
you
could have bought it for your 360.
They still have an X, but it's in a different spot, so I try to hit X. I'm like, oh, it's triangle!
Or if it's more complicated, sort of a little graphic comes up, like we're playing that Royal Rumble, and...
Yeah.
There was a thing where, you know, you have to resist being pushed out, and it could be the quick time events if you're going over. If there's somebody who's trying to, like, push you off the back, there's a little thing where it slides across, and you have to, like, button spam, and, you know, a lot of that stuff wasn't really obvious. And it was, like, it was a Royal Rumble, so it's not like it's, you know, it's something you'd have to do for every match. It was specific to that particular game mode. It was
exactly
a specific mechanic.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know how you would know what all those things are supposed to be like without somebody sitting there telling you what to do, and even then, it's too late.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's why, because pretty much leading up to our little game session that we had tonight, Previous weeks, basically you guys came in one by one, and just I kind of gave you a controller and set you up against a computer and was like, go for it, see what you can figure out, because that's pretty much how everyone's real first reactions to the game is going to be.
Yeah.
Because there's no tutorial, and, you know, nobody told me what to do, so nobody's going to tell you guys how to do anything, so...
Yeah. Well, I mean, like on, like, Madden or something like that, isn't there, like, a tutorial mode that, like, explains... Because, I mean, those are kind of the same deal, where it's the same people that buy those games every year when they come out, but I imagine, for something that popular, there's got to be...
I usually, unless there's, like, some big new feature that's completely different from anything they've
uh-huh.
ever done, usually they skip around that. But see, that's the thing, like, for someone who hasn't... I didn't play WWE 12.
Yeah.
So, the controls were pretty much completely different from the last wrestling game that it wasn't too far off, but everything just seemed kind of shuffled around.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I actually, like, I like these controls better than 11.
Right, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. It's just once you got the hang of it, you know.
Yeah.
I do like the reversal feature, but...
Yeah, that's
getting
the timing
right.
Like, I can see there's a lot of experience to be gained there. But,
right.
like, that's another thing is, the way those moves are is because they're so spaced out, like, they don't have any sort of... you know, flag or anything, or they don't, you know, signal the fact that they're going to do a move. So you can initiate a move and not quite realize it for a split second until he actually starts going into that move. So you can be, like, spamming a button and not realize that you have no control of your character because you've already gone into some sort of move set.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, in a lot of fighting game, you know, more typical fighting games, they do an initial little, like, animation or, like, a little burst or something. Like, there's some sort of graphic that indicates the fact that you're starting to do something. So your opponent, on the one hand, can see it if they're going to do a counter, and then you can see it so you know what's coming up next, and you can sort of be planning ahead that split second that you need. Whereas in this game, you know, where it's really, you know, no HUD at all, no sort of graphics or anything, it's trying to go for that realistic look.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to lose a lot of information unless you're already used to the game.
That's for anything. We also have a special disadvantage of really playing with custom-made characters.
Yeah.
They're just, like, added generic... to try and accommodate for everything you want.
Playing that Royal Rumble was interesting because you got to play several different styles of characters back-to-back. Like, you know, the Bruiser guys, I actually felt a difference between them and, like, you know, one of the little, like, Kofi, for example, like,
right.
being as bouncy as he was.
Yeah.
It gave you a better feel for, like, the wide variety.
Kind of a cross-section of different styles.
There's definitely a very real possibility that... You know, I'm going to like playing as somebody who I might hate on the show or something.
Yeah.
Just because I like that play style.
Yeah.
So,
I wouldn't know. I haven't played as Del Rio.
You refuse to touch him?
Nope. Refuse.
So, I mean, you know, that might be it. I just, you know, I might not gel with the Punk, with, you know, what he's got there.
Right.
Yeah.
So... As much as I'd be like, yeah, I'm playing as Punk. I mean...
The animations were good. Like, I noticed when he came out in the Rumble... Like, he had very distinct, like, sort of punkish actions where, you know, when he'd get hit, he'd react in the way that CM Punk actually would react,
right.
whereas, you know, other guys, you know, would react differently in terms of, like, you know, how they move when they get kicked or punched or, you know.
Right, and obviously they gave a little bit more, it's like they put a little bit more effort in the bigger name guys.
Yeah, the ones
did, you know. Unico react the way you would expect him to react.
What? Unico, the winner of the Royal Rumble?
Oh, God. Yeah, so we had a 40-man Royal Rumble. I only have two controllers, so basically...
We
switched off anytime one of us got eliminated. I think me and Neil started with our created characters, which we'll talk about later. And then eventually, I think like halfway through it, it's... I think it was me and Joel playing, and Joel had Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
And he literally fell asleep in the middle of the match.
I was tired to begin with, and...
didn't even know you were eliminated.
No, I did know I was eliminated.
Until I said something, and then he was like, here's the controller.
Like, I looked over and saw he was sleeping, and I thought, oh, well, he must just be waiting for his character to come out or something. And, like, I see a guy standing there in the ring, and then just getting pushed out.
No, I played a little while with Eddie Guerrero. But I was injured. I was, like, pretty severely injured because I was doing this limp thing. And anytime I, like, walked towards somebody, I was just going to get beat up. Because Eddie Guerrero at this point did not have anything close to
reaction time. So you thought a better strategy would be falling asleep.
Well, I started standing in a corner. And I was just like, I'm going to run around. But, like, everybody else had paired up because there were five people in the ring at the time. So everybody was paired up. I had nothing to do. So tired enough. I was like, I'm gonna take a lie back.
So at that moment, me and Neil decided to take up the rest of the Rumble by our twosome. And we ended up with, I ended up with a crap character at the end. I ended up with freaking Epico.
Well, yeah.
And I still eliminated Brock Lesnar. But I had to take a pretty bad beating.
At one point I got, you know, more recent John Cena, and I was in the ring for all of 15 seconds.
Well, this particular Rumble was flipped on its head with Jinder Mahal, the freaking superhero.
Jinder Mahal, Del Rio, dear lord, he was in him. There was Chris Jericho was impossible to
eliminate. Yeah, Chris Jericho was in there for
about 20
people.
Yeah, but Chris Jericho should be impossible.
Okay, yeah.
Fair enough, fair enough. But yeah, mostly Jinder Mahal and Del Rio was just way too good.
The last two people were Heath Slater and Udigo.
Udigo
won.
So, and neither one of us were either of those characters.
No.
No, yeah.
They're all
watching losers. Computers beating on each other.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's another thing about WWE games, because regular WWE is so story-based, like, it's so narrative-based.
Right.
And the game is trying to be like a sports game where it's actually even, like, you know, different characters have different stats and different, you know, levels
right.
of skill, but it's still otherwise equal, and you can actually hurt each other, and it's actually, you know, back
right.
and forth. And so you can get really, really weird combinations like that, so you have a really big disconnect between what is basically a sports game and WWE, which is half sports.
Oh, yeah, especially
story.
When you play Universe Mode and, you know, you're on an episode of Superstars and the main event is The Rock versus Santino.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And The Rock loses.
And The Rock loses, yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, what's The Rock doing on Superstars? So.
At least he's the main event.
Yeah, at least.
So one thing that we did kind of do as a group, we dove pretty deep into the creative superstar.
Yeah,
this
feature.
Is something WWE always does pretty good.
Well, this is a class. Like I even remember back in the day that this was a big part of the games was the character customization.
Yeah,
absolutely. I created my player first, then I went a little bit more the more serious route. I know, boo me. I made Bang.
Yeah.
Made Bang. I got a mask about as close as I could get to the Dark Knight Rises, and
it was kind of a what's his name?
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah,
mask.
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, it was
mask.
A Hannibal Lecter mask.
I mean, that's what was the option in the game was Hannibal Lecter.
Exactly. I was more into picking like the move set.
Yeah,
I created my own finisher, which.
I was actually pretty impressed with that.
Yeah,
like,
it was a lot more detailed than I was thinking, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's a really hard thing to figure out how to do is, like, let a player, through the fairly simple input of the controller, actually create an animation. And, you know, even the way they did it where you chop up different pieces of the sequence of the move.
Right.
And you can change the speeds, and it kind of tries to blend them together. That actually ended up working out pretty well. Where you're able to make a move that didn't really exist in any of the existing, you know, options for moves, but you kind of got, you still pretty much got what you wanted.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I skipped that.
Just created the character.
Well, I mean, that was kind of because like I spent so much time creating a character and so many options.
Yeah, you could spend hours
overwhelming options by the time you finally get.
Yeah, because when we made Neil's character a couple days ago. It was, you were here, you came here at like what, 2-3 o'clock
yeah.
in the afternoon, and you left at like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of that was creating.
Most of it was creating, yeah.
So yeah, that kind of explains how I went about my characters. I started out kind of serious and like as I was going along, there were so many options, I was getting kind of like more and more, you know, bored of trying to do it accurately and seriously.
Tell us a little bit about your character. Dave.
So he is really, really big guy.
What's his name?
Well, I'm going over that I made stuff.
Okay, okay.
I made him like scarred, and I saw that there were like really serious scar options. So I made him really, really scarred, and then I was kind of looking at the body hair and just made him really hairy. And then like the tattoos, you can make a lot of goofy tattoos. So I started giving him some, you know, more sillier tattoos. And you get to the clothing options. And
wait, tell us what kind of tattoos he had.
Okay, so he had dragons on his back shoulders, and then like another one kind of like where the Rock has his over his, you know, chest.
His pec.
Yeah, his pack. And then I was looking at more of them, and I ended up putting two hammer and sickles on his arms, and then you can't see it anymore because of the shorts he's wearing, but there's like pink roses on both of his thighs on the front. Oh, and then the facial hair. Like, I made kind of like an Abraham Lincoln beard with sort of mutton chop things, and then like a Hitler mustache right underneath the nose. So it's a really goofy looking facial
hair.
It's
just like facial hair on top of facial hair.
Yeah, it was just layering on top of each other. So, you know, it's progressively like I'm getting more and more bored, so I'm picking more and more weird options.
I mean, everybody probably has a version of this character on their game.
Yeah, exactly.
But they just hit all the extremities and go, you can put what on the what?
Yeah, so like eventually get to the point where I see a Napoleon hat, and that's going on his head.
So Napoleon hat, I go on with his clothing.
Oh yeah, his clothing. So he has like regular boat shoes and then socks that, you know, tube socks pulled all the way up, and like seersucker shorts, brown suspenders, you know, over no shirt, boxing gloves, and a Napoleon hat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and his name ended up being Die Gunter Feast, and he has a lot of, like, big, strong moves for some reason, and, like, a lot of grab stuff.
Because you made him giant, didn't you?
Yeah, I made him a giant dude, too.
His ring entrance is pretty,
Oh, yeah.
How should we describe the entrance moves? Just
a bit fascist?
Yeah, a bit fascist.
The thing is, though, as ridiculous as you tried to make your character, he's still fairly proportionately accurate.
Yeah,
like, yeah, he's not really disproportionate.
I mean, he's a big juggernaut of a dude, but it's not like he's something absurd.
Like, but like going back 2 years, the last game we all played on was 2011.
Oh,
Joel's
yeah.
character.
We made Troll, who was everything.
You made Troll.
Everything was maxed out, like shoulder width and arm width and arm length.
And then
height.
His belly size was all the way
minimized.
Yeah,
his waist was all the way minimized, and his hand size was all the way minimized. So he had these tiny, tiny hands sticking off these tree trunk arms.
Like Popeye style.
Yes.
Yeah. With, what was it, American flag type
oh,
wings.
Oh, yeah, bat wings. Well, I'm glad to see that the bat wings are still there.
Yeah, bat wings.
I'm so glad to see that they hadn't gotten rid of bat wings. I was a little bummed that they kept your character looking proportional.
Yeah.
Because I tried to make my character skinnier, but I couldn't do that without adjusting the height.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, like, if you really go into it, there's a lot of, like, detailed body options where you can change, like, the size of different
That's
muscles and the position of different muscles. You know, the X, Y, and Z proportions and everything. So you can get really, really detailed if you have that much time and you kind of know in your head what you're going to do beforehand.
And you need, yeah, and that's the character.
You need a plan.
You're going for.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing is, like, I went in with pretty much no idea what I was going to
yeah.
do until I stumbled upon makeup that looked like the Joker.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a Joker smile makeup. And I was like, all right, I'm doing the Joker then. So, but it was nothing until, it was all generic looking good dude until I hit that point. And
right.
then.
But then you ended up making a very accurate Joker.
That's a better Joker than the Bane. Which,
yeah.
You know,
right,
all
yeah,
things
yeah.
considered, like, you Bane's the mask, and you,
right.
they didn't put
exactly.
a Bane mask
otherwise,
in the
Otherwise, all you're wearing is you're wearing a bulletproof vest and
yeah.
cargo pants.
Not
That's it.
Nothing against your Bane. It was a lovely Bane. It was probably the best Bane you can make out of that game.
Probably make a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Muscle wise. I think he's at the right
he's
height.
He's pretty good. He's pretty big, but like since you stuck him against
small
7 foot guy, he kept looking
Gunter
small.
Feast. No.
I mean, I guess Tom Hardy in real life actually isn't huge.
He's not a tall dude, but he's he can get pretty jacked up.
I mean, he bulked out.
I see his body type almost as like a shorter, a little bit leaner Brock Lesnar.
In the shoulders, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
He's got that kind of build.
You have the Lesnar muscles
yeah.
right there.
The traps, which we found out that's actually
yeah, we found out the names. We've been calling
yeah.
them Lesnar muscles for years now. Like, look at Ezekiel Jackson. He has Lesnar muscles.
Oh, another nice thing about the character creator was the color history. That was really useful for your
that
Joker
was
character.
Really useful, yeah.
So, you know,
yeah,
there's,
I had no
there's
idea
a lot of really,
that,
really
so,
detailed,
yeah.
You know, color options, you know, the shade and, you know, the hue and all that stuff. So it's really hard to, like, carry
Basically,
those across
I need,
different pieces of clothing.
Yeah, the Joker, I needed his jacket to match his pants.
Right. So, and there's a little history option where you can go and see colors that you've put on stuff before and just go ahead and pick out that color. That's really, really useful.
Yeah,
I really
was,
like that.
That's an amazing feature.
And, like, all the coloring things is very, very consistent across all the different pieces of coloring and all the different, like, changing size of muscles and everything. That all works the same for every single muscle, which is surprising, but it works really well, so you already kind of know what your options are before you even start messing around with them.
Yeah.
So it helps out your planning.
Yeah. But, you know, what it ended up being was,
you know, you can, once you've actually made your character, you still can/have to select, like, how your character enters the ring.
Yeah.
And,
right.
like, how your character, the picture of your character's pose in those still pictures for the matchups. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. there's still...
The entrance
video. The entrance if he's champion compared to if he's not champion.
If he has more than one champion.
If he's champion, multiple championships.
And then if you put him in a tag team, you have to do the tag team entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which me and Goozer Feast were in a tag team mode.
Yeah.
I don't think we can say the name of the team.
So, but like, it's great that that's all detailed, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you get a lot of options,
you can get really a lot.
You have to go through a lot of options.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's a different type of gameplay.
Well, another thing was on the PS3, kind of the way its memory system is set up, is it had to load each and every single one of those off of the disc every single time you wanted to go check through them. So I don't know if that's like a technical hard limitation, but I don't know, maybe some clever programming. You could preload some of those so you can kind of see them in order and go through them more quickly. And that would help a lot with like the ring entrances, because those took forever to go through just to see.
Well, yeah.
All was
well,
there.
Basically, with those, as soon as you went to another option, it basically restarted the whole preview.
Well, it gave you that loading symbol for a while because you had to wait for it to load up. Then it started over again, and you got to see what was going on. So it'd be nice if there's like a really short preview, like down in a window in the corner, just so you can get the idea of what's happening.
I'm still hearing that Revolution song.
Yeah, exactly. You hear that song over and over and over and over and over.
That's another thing. If you really want to get a good character and delve into it takes time, you better love ring entrance music.
Yeah.
Which you're going to hear
because
a lot.
It's why I know so many theme songs by the words now from making characters on earlier games.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, all in all, it's a good feature. It's, you know, and...
Well, you can tell they've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
They have a lot of experience.
And it's really nice that it's on the actual game, because, you know, a basic Sims wrestling is a cool thing to have.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nice that I'm not expected to buy that in addition to
WWE 13. I mean, it seems like there's a little bit of that nickel and dime kind of stuff, but, I mean, it seems fairly useful, and it's sort of understandable in this case, because things change in the WWE fairly quickly, and it's more quickly than a programmer can be expected to keep up with it and publish it. So,
well,
like, stuff like characters that get a big push after the game's already being, like, printed.
Yeah.
You know, like AJ, for example, is going to be a DLC character.
Right.
But that's I feel that's reasonable. It's not like they took something out of the game and then made you pay extra to get it.
I mean, every game has been published basically inaccurately. Like, Bella Twins are in this.
They're not here anymore. But, I mean, that's the fact that you have to wait, like, 3 months for the discs to get made. And shit, you know.
It's a product of the company changing so quickly. And
I mean, it's a good example of where DLC is warranted.
Yeah.
Right. So. And that's why we have, like, updated pay-per-view settings. Like, Extreme Rules is from this year. WrestleMania is from this year. But I think, like, Over the Limit, there's still capital punishment in this game. Stuff like that.
Which, you know, they're probably never going to do it ever again.
Ever again. Thank goodness.
Which, you know, listen, just capital punishment is nothing. There was no...
Other than a fake president.
Yeah, it was, we have to...
did a spin-a-rooney.
Capital punishment, how I hate you.
That was a terrible, terrible favorite.
How I hate you.
Yeah, I'm glad I missed that one.
I mean, it's because they had to fulfill their quota of pay-per-views for the year.
They're like, hey, we're in D.C. this time, so let's do something, you know, D.C. related.
One other thing, kind of related to the character customization, is just the way models... It looked like a pretty standard, you know, way of rigging models and animations and everything. But you get a lot of issues with clipping, especially, like, boots and stuff that tends to stick out. You know, if you just use off-the-shelf character, design, that's perfectly fine normally, because, you know, you're zoomed out, you don't really see the character a lot, and, you know, the way animations work. But in this kind of game, it seems like there would be a lot of... you know, opportunity to try and fix some of that stuff. Like, you'd get a lot out of spending some effort on making pieces of clothing go around other pieces of clothing and try avoiding some of the clipping issues, because you see those wrestlers up close so much.
Yeah.
And there's all those different customization options.
Well, the big issues hit around, like, boots and long pants. Like,
yeah, gloves. Those
gloves,
can cause some issues.
Gloves messed up. I had a open button shirt and a tie for a while.
Yeah, that totally didn't work.
Yeah. So
and like another like lighting, you know, like yeah, I realize that's a hard thing to do with graphics, but like there's a lot of progress to be made. You know, a lot, making sure a lot of stuff doesn't look neon, and then part of that's just kind of like, you know, if you pick a weird color, you know, there's only so much you can do. But
yeah,
I, you know, for the next game, THQ, in the unlikely event that you're listening and not dealing with your bankruptcy.
More importantly, future company who will be making WWE 14.
Hopefully EA Sports.
Yeah.
I would love if EA Sports took over.
I mean, as much of an issue as I have with EA being the only people who can publish sports games, because, you know, that whole licensing system, at least they know what they're doing.
EA would make such a good wrestling. God, that would just, like, melt.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Someday. Someday it'll be.
But yeah, and this is a game where repetitive commentary actually makes sense, too. So they're good there.
Yeah. Although, yeah, the your ring entrance options were crazy. Like 79 pages of ring entrance. I did like the sign options, which I usually hate in these games.
Yeah, they actually had, like,
it's a couple
without being, you know, breaking kayfabe or being obscene. There are a lot of good signs, you know.
YOLO!
Yeah. No, I didn't like the YOLO sign.
No YOLO.
No YOLO.
Security took my sign.
Security took my
sign
was really funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had recent signs. Usually you get really generic, like, I like The Rock and Triple H rules.
Yeah, or
and,
just a WWE sign or something like that.
Yeah, and maybe one generic character will be holding the guy behind me can't see sign. And that's, like, the closest you get to any sort of humorous signs. And, you know, so part of it is, you know, a lot of humor got infused in the WWE fairly recently with Crazy Truth and with Digging Crazy Chicks. Yeah, the Dig Crazy Chicks sign got in, but AJ didn't.
Yeah. Well, that was another weird thing is, like, John Morrison wasn't in, but all of his, like, gear was in. Like, they had specifically John Morrison glasses, they had specifically John Morrison that big fur coat that he used to wear.
That made Joel happy.
Morrison return is imminent. It's been confirmed.
So, like, I guess they can't use his name because of, you know, whatever contractual issues, but they
but
still
you can
kind of
use his character.
Yeah,
you can make a John Morrison.
It's how they get around with, you know, this guy. He's no longer with our company, but still got a lot of fans and love to play him.
Yeah.
And basically, if you pick a certain moveset, I'm pretty sure in there you can find a moveset that's exactly John Morrison.
You probably could, yeah.
Yeah, you can make him John Morrison.
And there's countless others, you know.
Yeah, and there's lots of
the
other
one that's more obvious because of the
he has very
pants
distinctive
and
clothing.
The
glasses.
Clothing, yeah.
Yeah, there was a Hogan feathered boa.
Yeah.
That was one of the things.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could get a bandana and a mustache on a guy, because that's really Hogan. That is really Hogan.
That's something that, like,
there's definitely the mustache was in there.
If you're really into, like, you know, doing that, you just search online, just type in a certain wrestler or whatever. There's CAWs for WWE 13.
Uh-huh.
I forget what character attributes for wrestling. I don't know.
Okay.
And basically, it's people who have gone through and pretty much matched up everything. And,
okay, so you can download
actual, like,
characters
physical
off the internet and get them with your.
Well, you can get tutorials.
You can get tutorials.
I mean, the same thing, like, for Miis, you know.
Yeah,
or
right.
For the Xbox avatar, you know.
Okay.
People
exactly.
Like, you pick these things and put it at these numbers, and it's going to look like this. And
yeah. That's something we didn't really mess with, but, like, the internet options and what, you know, the multiplayer options over the internet. But, like, that's another area where you can do a lot with sharing,
you
know. You
can do it a lot. You can, I think you can play matches online and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Have you messed around with the Attitude Era stuff?
I delved into when I first got the game, I went pretty deep into that. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was fun to go back and do things to the Attitude Era that you always, you know, watched and you always heard about. I haven't gotten too far. I think I got, like, right to the start of Brothers of Destruction. It was fun.
So what's the rating on the game? Teen?
Teen,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I was surprised that, you know, there's blood. And not
well,
a lot or anything.
You can turn it off.
Okay, you can turn it off.
But
the crowd will sometimes give weapons in certain kind of matches.
Right.
So it's not PG era, you know, strictly. You know, you can...
Oh, yeah, they're definitely, like, WWE's really, like, turning a leaf where they're using, like, Attitude Era as a marketing tool again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm really curious. I should look this up, but there's an Attitude Era DVD being released. I don't know if it's going to be rated PG or TV-14.
It would have to be at least 14. I don't, like, they're really, if it's rated TV PG, it's, there's not going to be much on that DVD.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the...
All the Bret Hart matches, pretty much.
This is what Attitude was about. you know, that was part of the thing, is like, I can get this DVD now because they unblurred... They unblurred the WWF mark.
Yeah.
So,
which is probably what they're really waiting on.
Well, they were they're trying to get it for the channel, basically.
Well, yeah.
But you know,
that's not happening.
I don't know. Anyway, the thing I really want to do is there's, you know, the basically create your own universe option where you can go in and create storylines and
The thought of how in depth that is.
Yeah. The level of complexity that you run into trying to script all that out, or giving all the options to a player so they felt like they could script out something of significance without it being super generic or being super boring to try and write all that out.
Yeah. What we need to do is we need to literally like write it as best and as detailed as we can and submit it to WWE's, like, hire us.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, because I tried it on some earlier games, the thing that really killed me was. You know, you can write people's promos.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a keyboard, I had a controller.
Exactly.
And I was like, I wrote three sentences of one Edge promo. I was like, nope!
Something that would make that more appealing is if you could, like, upload it to the internet and share it with people online or something like that. Or have, like, an off-game, you know, application on your PC where you could write that out. And be like, you know, when you get on the PS3 one day, like, hey, friend, whoever, try out this wrestling, you know, universe that I made. And then they can download it onto their PS3 and, like, give it a shot. So that stuff can, like, go viral or, you know. So you kind of bring some more of that kind of PC options, like, you know, Minecraft. People make their adventure back.
Basically. Long-winded PC is awesome. And consoles suck.
Yep. Well, I mean, the thing is, like, consoles nowadays, they already have brought in a lot of the things that made PCs good with their internet connectivity, and I'm just saying that they need to keep follow that path, and there's a lot of opportunities here with the WWE franchise to do that. Yeah, I see Chris.
Yeah, all right.
Sorry, I've seen hand gestures at me. his PC snobbery.
This is a clean podcast, right?
Yes, yes, it is.
This game isn't on PC, is it? This is only
no,
on
PC. I haven't
seen it on PC any.
I assumed.
I admit, like, you know, the PC control scheme would not work for this game. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's a game made for a console, and that's where it belongs.
I don't even know how it works on the Wii. That's.
Oh, yeah, that could be weird.
Like,
it's on the Wii, right?
It is on the Wii, yeah. Okay. I mean, but it's one thing where I played, what's the one where they all look over cartoony? All-Stars?
All-Stars, yeah.
Yeah, I played a little bit of All-Stars.
I didn't like All-Stars.
It was...
I played the demo of it.
Weird, uncomfortable Wii controls. And, like, I didn't judge the game best on those. It was Wii controls.
Yeah, it's... The weird, you know, you're gonna get weird stuff like that with that kind of situation.
Yeah, so
scheme.
But basically, I really think that, yeah, controller is the way to go for this.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt.
Joystick is really what's important here.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a simple joystick, but a lot of buttons that are, you know, fairly easy to use and easily accessible, and a couple different kinds of buttons. And
I mean, a computer has buttons.
Yeah, but like they're all exactly the same, and then you have the mouse, and you have a couple of, you know, essentially you can only program for two buttons on the mouse and maybe a scroll wheel. So that's.
Don't you have a 17-button mouse, Neil?
I do, but it's basically a number pad on the side. That's where I get 12 of them. So.
Yeah.
I have no words.
Do you not know about a 17-button mouse?
I know. Try one. Like, for playing an MMO, and you will never make fun of it again. It's so useful.
I
won't be allowed to, because I'll have played an MMO.
See?
But yeah, I think, final thoughts on this game. It's basically, it's what I expected, but I mean that in a good way.
Right.
It
met your expectations.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it's still not something that I feel like I need to buy every year.
Right.
Yeah. Although I'm a lot closer to that now than I was a little while ago.
Right. We only skipped. I mean, I say I'm playing your games all the time.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You feel the need to buy games, or you're really it's me buying the games.
Yeah, I feel the need. You know, I felt the need to start pressuring Chris to buy. You know, after only skipping one game.
Well, so. The last one I bought was 2011, and then I bought whatever the. I bought one on PS2 a couple years before that.
You had 2007.
Right.
So
I went 2007 to 2011.
Did you buy 11, like, when it was on sale, like, it had been out for a while?
Exactly.
Yeah, you bought 11 fairly late.
I got 11, like, a couple months before 12 came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, but it's enough, and I felt like enough improvement in the game that it was a worthwhile purchase.
Right. And it was... WB13 was a big enough detour from pretty much the norm up to that point, so it was worth the purchase because it was something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because for a while, even WB12 really had the same concept as SmackDown versus Raw.
Yeah.
We've had those for years and years, so there you go.
I still complain about the graphics.
Right. I mean, we're going to get that as long as they're with THQ.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
that's the kind of thing that takes a lot of investment to really do improvement. Plus, you're kind of limited by the fact that it's a 5-year-old console. You know, we'll see what happens when the new generation comes out and see if they.
Yeah, but like I had things where like somebody was hanging on to a rope and they were like 6 inches away from that rope, just hanging on to the air.
Yeah,
and so.
But yeah, it takes a lot of time and money and effort to improve that kind of stuff, rather than just using like off the shelf good.
Whereas WWE stays with something that's a little bit cheaper, knowing that they're still going to get revenue from it.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean that's the other thing.
I mean, because you're not going to draw a lot of people from, you know, the regular gaming crowd. You're not going to draw a lot of, you know, casual gamers into buying WWE. It's pretty much aimed at people who are already fans.
Yeah, which is kind of a shame, because
it's a little bit of a shame.
I think if
they aimed high, they might, you know, really get somewhere. But that's I mean, that's a risk, and it's a risk that THQ can't afford.
Yeah,
they can't afford much.
They can't afford, and WWE isn't willing to shop around really.
No.
I mean, I think if they went with, you know, because EA is such a big name and such a
EA would be able to soak
on sports,
screwing up a couple of. You know, a year or two, it took them a year or two to get it right, financially, they'd be able to accept that.
It doesn't help that, you know, Vince McMahon spent about $100 million on Linda's campaign, so.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, so we need to refill the bank first. But also, you know, EA, there's EA fans who, you know, are like,
that's true.
EA does a sports game right, and I will look at what EA's done, whereas I will.
That's true. That would, I think, get a lot of people to take a second look at the franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, any last thoughts?
Just from a person who hasn't played a lot of WWE games before, you know, I thought it was a good game. You know, once you get a little experience under your belt, you kind of know, you know, sort of the control system. It's fun to come over and, you know, just kind of beat each other up with your friends. You know, just kind of a fun, casual, relaxing kind of game. You know, not something you have to get super in-depth into or anything like that.
Right.
You know, maybe like a, you know, a Halo replacement or something like that, where it's, you know, a bunch of guys. And it's probably fun for, you know, spectators to sit around and kind of watch as they're not playing, whereas a lot of games that's not the case.
Right.
That was something I did experience with this game. Like, it seemed, it took less time to get the hang of it than SmackDown versus Raw 2011. That one, it just seems like everything was a little more complicated, and a little bit more hidden to really try to just do the basic stuff.
Mm.
Like, even just, you know, whipping someone into the corner and doing a corner move or something like that.
Like, there was no pin button in that game. That's a really...
No, there wasn't. No.
There was like a pin combo kind of twist thing.
I forget, but I think you're right. Yeah.
So yeah, but like.
So I guess they are making strides in terms of being more
player
friendly.
Yeah,
they're being a little bit more comprehensive.
Yeah. So, all right. Next week we will return live.
Be back with our regular scheduled program.
That's the plan to continue all of our talking.
And Neil won't be here
about
all
things wrestling.
Screw you, Neil.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Peace out, buddy.
Guys, we're trying to close this podcast out. We can be a little professional, please. All right. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter @CRAttire.
If you got any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send us an email, classicringguitar@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr where you can find old episodes of this podcast, as well as plenty of other wrestling shenanigans and whatnots.
And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We also are on iTunes. So check us out on iTunes.
Review!
Subscribe, review 5 stars.
5 stars!
Yeah, reviews really help on iTunes.
Yes,
so
they do.
Since the guy who hasn't written us a review.
I'm getting there.
Written is the right word.
Yes. So that'll send us a new episode automatically to you every week. Neil, you have anything you want to plug?
I got nothing.
In the plug session.
I got nothing.
Somebody come over here and plug Neil.
All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!